The Cake Vampire by Kathy Hauschild. When we last left Wiggy, he was far away from home, in Hilu's bakery. Tonight, he's going to learn how to bake cake. Chapter 8. Hilu stood up and looked around his bakery. There was a lot to do. His customers would not believe that their bread was not ready because a cake vampire broke in and ate the place empty. He got to work preparing his bread and pastries, all in the dark, so not to disturb the vampire in his kitchen. Then he cleaned up his store, and with only a little delay, he opened the doors to his bakery for his customers. "Overslept today, did we?" one of his older customers joked with a twinkle in his eye. Hilu gave a strained smile. He was bone-tired and still had an entire day of work ahead of him, and baking lessons for a vampire tonight. "How do I get myself into these things?" he said to no one in particular. Besides baking lessons for vampires, Hilu was also the one who rescued kittens and brought cakes to the elderly home and more, because he was a sweet man. How could someone work with sugar every day and not have a bit of sweetness rub off? Throughout the day, Hilu peeked into his bakery under the kneading table to be sure that there was really someone curled up underneath. Sure enough, there always was. He was out of bread by noon, and by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, there were only a few crumbs left on his shelves. He closed up a little early to take a nap. Just before sundown, he headed back to the bakery to set up for tonight's lesson. Wiggy crept out from under the table as soon as the sun went down.
So, are you really going to teach me? He asked shyly.
Should we start with devil's food? Hilu asked, taking the cocoa down from its shelf. It is a very forgiving cake, despite its name. Hilu chuckled, pleased with his own joke. You will find the recipe on page 26, he said, handing Wiggy a cookbook called Baker's Rules, the Best Recipes for the New Baker. You start with dry ingredients, Hilu instructed, handing Wiggy two bowls, and moved quickly around the bakery getting out different ingredients. Flour, salt, cocoa and baking soda to start with, he instructed.
But what about sugar? I like sugar. I don't like salt, Wiggy complained.
Sugar is mixed with butter, Hilu explained. First, the dry ingredients.
I'd rather put in sugar, Wiggy insisted.
But that's not how it works, Hilu answered calmly. For the best tasting cake, you will need a balance of sweet and salty. If you go all sweet, that's all you will taste. Trust me on this, Hilu instructed. When Hilu's back was turned, Wiggy substituted sugar for the salt. On they baked, whipping the butter until it was creamy, the sugar glistening like diamonds. Here, said Hilu, passing Wiggy 3 eggs. Add them one at a time to the butter mixture, and I will heat the oven. Wiggy looked at the eggs in his hands, shrugged, and then dropped the first one in the bowl. He began beating it with a wooden spoon. Wiggy was surprised at the eggshells. He had never noticed eggshells in the cakes he had tried in the past.
No, not like that, Hilu yelled, grabbing Wiggy's hand as it was poised to beat in the second egg.
The bowl's contents were thrown out, and they started again. This time around, Hilu showed Wiggy how to carefully crack an egg open. The dry ingredients were mixed to the wet ones. The buttered and floured cake forms were filled. 3/4 of a way up with batter for each pan, Hilu instructed. The cake smelled heavenly, very chocolatey. Wiggy's fangs were tingling in expectation. When the timer went off, Wiggy rushed to the oven, flung open the door, and reached for the cake.
"Stop, Wiggy!"
Halo cried out, but not fast enough.
"Ow!"
Wiggy burned his fingers reaching for the cake. With a towel in his hand, Halo carefully pulled out the cake to evaluate it before taking it completely out of the oven.
"First,"
said Halo, "we look at the color. It appears very even. Second, we touch gently in the middle and see if it springs back. Third, we see if the cake has risen evenly."
"Yes," answered Wiggy eagerly.
Halo slid the cakes out of the oven and placed them on a cooling rack.
"Can I have it now?"
Wiggy almost screamed with excitement. "But it hasn't cooled and there's no frosting on it," Halo pointed out.
"I don't care," said Wiggy.
Halo removed a cake from its form. He sliced it open. Nice texture, no tunnels, he added, placing the slice on a plate. Wiggy snapped it up and went to the corner to sink in his fangs. Halo cut a second slice for himself. He took a bite.
"Someone didn't put in the salt,"
Halo called out. Wiggy, cake on his fangs, had to agree. It tasted like chocolate, but somehow not quite right. One must follow the basic recipe. Once you know how the basics work, there will be room for experimentation, Halo instructed. "Let's do it again," he said with a smile. Side by side, Wiggy mirrored Halo's every move. This time, when the cake came out, it was allowed to cool. A rich cream was created to hold the two layers together. A thick chocolate ganache was poured over it. Halo handed Wiggy a slice. "Now that looks like a good piece of cake," he announced. They both tried it in their own special ways. The Devil's Food cake was pronounced to be delicious. "A great first try," Halo said encouragingly.
"Second try, actually," Wiggy admitted.
While Wiggy tried to recreate his success, Halo got to work on his bread for the day. It was nice to have someone to bake with. Halo and Wiggy cleaned up the bakery before sunup.
You'll come back and teach me tonight, won't you?" asked Wiggy eagerly.
"Of course, you're an excellent student," he assured him,
holding back a yawn.
"Burning the candle at both ends, my boy?" a customer asked as Halo leaned on the counter, his eyes half open.
"Bread does not bake itself," he answered with a yawn.
Again at twilight, he headed to the bakery, his vampire student eagerly waiting for the next cake recipe. There were still a few mishaps. One cake was so hard that Wiggy almost chipped his fang. Another cake's batter was so thin it seeped out of the springform pan. A cake or two looked beautiful only to collapse when they were taken out of the oven. One was so overmixed that it was just a gummy, sticky mess when done. But Wiggy learned from each of his mistakes. It turned out that he was an excellent student. He mastered the basics, yellow, white, chocolate, and angel food, and then they moved on to frosting. Nights passed as they worked their way through the pages of the book. Tarts and pies were part of the lesson plan too, even if they were not cakes. Wiggy achieved a light flaky crust with ease. His meringue peaked perfectly. The ovens emitted sweet smells all night long, giving the townspeople sweet dreams, their mouths watering when they woke for something sweet. They lined up before Halo could even open the door.
"What have you done differently to your cakes this week, Baker Halo?" more than one customer asked.
"They were good before, but now they are just heavenly," said the local pastor. Soon, Wiggy had mastered almost all of the book. He had never been so happy in his life. He was so busy mixing, measuring, and baking that he had very little time to think about Marzipan and his castle and the cake-free towns he had left behind. Marzipan was not spending her time learning new things or making new friends. The first night without Wiggy, she tried not to worry. By the second and third night, this was not possible. Where was he? Why didn't he make it home? Did he get caught in the sun? If she'd had fingernails, they would have been chewed to little stubs. What was she to do? Hilo, on the other hand, was exhausted with his double life. Nevertheless, his business, which had always done well, was now exceeding any dream Hilo had ever had. Not that he even had time for dreaming at the moment. He walked around in a daze, rings the color of candied plums hung under his eyes. Even the townspeople were talking. "He's working himself to the bone," twittered old Lady Mara. "Why is he working so much? What is he trying to prove? Is he trying to make the rest of us look bad?" complained Mr. Benage. What he needed to do was stop giving baking lessons after midnight to vampires. But how could he stop? Wiggy was a great baker. Business was booming because of his sweet tooth. You could taste Wiggy's love of cake and all things sweet in each bite he baked. People came in their pajamas, hoping to get one of the new sweet creations in the morning. They sold out quicker than anything Hilo had ever made. Chapter 9. It was finally Wiggy who put an end to the nighttime baking lessons. He loved baking. He loved cake even more than before. But guilt, like too thin batter, kept leaking into his happiness. He had left his best friend alone. He ruined a wedding and treated a town that had kept him in cake for centuries very poorly. Hilo came in and began flipping through baker's rules. "I think we have now made just about everything in the book," he explained. "What should we make today?" "White chiffon with lemon curd," Wiggy answered. "Ooh," said Hilo, a bit surprised, recognizing the cake, which had been Wiggy's downfall. "That is a bit more difficult. Page 156, he answered. They baked in silence that night. Finished, frosted, and decorated with marzipan flowers, both stood back admiring it. "It looks good, Wiggy," Hilo assured him. "Shall we try it?" Wiggy could only nod. A lump of sugar lodged in his throat. Hilo cut two generous slices. He gave one to Wiggy, who turned his back to him, still embarrassed to sink his fangs into the cake in front of Hilo. Hilo heard Wiggy sniffle, then sigh. The cake was good. Hilo picked up his old book and walked over to Wiggy. "Here, I would like you to have this," he said, handing Wiggy the book over his shoulder. "Thank you," was all Wiggy could manage to say. He then took a deep breath, wiped the tears from his cheeks, and turned to Hilo. "You go back to bed. I will clean up," Wiggy said, and then, suddenly, without warning, hugged his friend. Hilo hugged back. "Okay, see you tomorrow night," Hilo said. Wiggy just smiled. That night, Wiggy made his signature white chocolate raspberry cake and wrote Hilo a note. Somehow, he didn't seem to know the recipe for saying goodbye to his new friend. He hid the cake and then slept through the day. Hilo had a funny feeling in his stomach and so was very relieved to see Wiggy still there the next morning. He went home to go to take a nap before returning that night. But right when the sun was sinking, Wiggy pulled out his goodbye cake and his note. The note said, "Thank you, Baker Hulu, for everything. Learning to bake was better than any cake I ever ate. I must return home to my castle cakes. Please come and visit your friend, Wiggy." He knew he couldn't say goodbye in person. Wiggy popped into a bat form when he heard the front door open. Baker's rules was grasped in his bat claws as he dissolved into the night sky like sugar into water. Chapter 10. With his bat ears flat against his head, his wings beating faster than a hand mixer, Wiggy made his way home. The book was heavy, but he was much stronger now. The window was open in the North Tower. Wiggy glided in with little time to spare. He looked around. It all seemed the same and quiet. He tried not to be disappointed that Mazipan was not there to greet him. He headed down the stairs to his coffin. He was looking forward to a good day's sleep in his cozy coffin. The spot under the kneading table was the darkest, but not the most comfortable. He placed his book on the table next to his coffin, opened the lid, and saw Mazipan curled up inside. He slid in quietly not to wake her. There was so much to tell her, and there would be enough time for it all tomorrow night. Mazipan woke slowly from the strangest dream. She was being held so tightly she could hardly move. Slowly, as sleep began to float away, she realized it was not entirely a dream. Just about to let out a squeal of terror, she realized it was Wiggy who was holding her so tightly. She was so happy! She was so angry! There was much explaining to do. She trampled on his chest until he opened his eyes. "Good evening, Mazipan. I missed you too." Her anger melted like chocolate and slipped away. "You're right. I have so much to tell you." They talked and talked. He told her about the trip and about Halu and learning to bake and showed her the book. "I know what I have to do now," he said. Mazipan agreed. The page was found in the book. A list was made of what was needed and a plan was baked. Chapter 11. The townspeople had not been happy in Wiggy's absence. At first, they had not realized that he was gone. The cries for cake had been absent for so long that even the hardest of hearts began to soften toward their local vampire. "Maybe we were too hard on him. He didn't really hurt anyone. It was just cake," some of the townspeople whispered. Finally, the mayor sent a team of the town's bravest to see what was going on in Castle Cakes. The six brave souls ventured up the winding lane in the safety of a sunny afternoon. They knocked on the door of the castle. Mazipan hid in Wiggy's coffin. They entered, looked around, surprised at how big the castle was, but also how empty. He was gone, that was for sure, but no one really felt good about it. "He's been up here all alone, all this time," said one. "I guess I never thought about it," said another. "It seems a little lonely." They returned to town and reported to the mayor. A new decree went out. "Rejoice, citizens! We are free of the cake vampire. Go and bake cakes!" Shouts of joy went out from the town. The echo of spoons hitting mixing bowls soon muffled even the loudest of songbirds. The VAB posters were taken down, and the "No Steaks, Just Don't Bake" campaign ended. Once again, the town smelled of brown sugar. But somehow, when their cakes come out, they had collapsed or were burned or just tasted off.
A little bit of happiness seemed to have left with the cake vampire. The townspeople were now quicker to judge and slower to forgive. Like a dieter who gives up sweets, they lost their taste for all forms of sugar coating. Life continued, but definitely more salty than sweet. Some continued to rediscover their sweet tooth, experimenting with new baking techniques and ingredients. But still, the beetroot cake was too dry, the zucchini cranberry muffins were bland, and the sweet potato scones were too salty. Miss Kea was at the end of her apron, ready to hang up her mixing bowls. Imagine their triple-layered surprise when sweet smells wafted down to town from the castle one night. Their nose hairs twitched, their mouths watered, memories bubbled over of moist cake with rich frosting, of parties where they had been served, the friends who had made them, the pleasure of enjoying a delicious cake together being rekindled. The townspeople recognized the smell immediately. The mayor, working late in his office, froze, his nose following the familiar scent. Miss Kea stopped kneading, her nose following the familiar scent as well. White chiffon with lemon curd. Every man, woman, child, dog, and cat had sweet dreams that night. Cake! 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 Was called out, not in agony, but in joy. There's a huge cake in the town square, called out the postman in the morning. Someone get the mayor! Balanced carefully on a bench in the center of town was a vision of white buttercream with marzipan flowers like a sugared Garden of Eden, a delicate white chiffon cake with lemon curd. On it hung a note. No one dared touch it until the mayor arrived. It's from the cake vampire, was the message that rose like yeast bread among the townspeople. Did you smell that yesterday coming from the castle? I didn't know the cake vampire could bake. Do you think we should eat it? Finally, a little rumpled, the mayor arrived. Read the note, the people called out. Almost the entire town had gathered in the square. The cake smelled like sweet perfections. Mouths watered and lips were licked in anticipation. Quiet down, he said. One hand held the note while the other gestured for calm. Dearest town people, the mayor read in a clear, strong voice. I am sorry that I ruined the original wedding cake and embarrassed that it has taken me so long to apologize. I must admit that I just didn't know the recipe. The mayor paused dramatically, looking out over the crowd for Miss Kea, hoping to catch her eye, which he did. She winked. The mayor, now flustered, stammered on, My bad behavior afterwards only made things worse. Please accept this cake as an apology. I promise to keep my fangs to myself from now on. Your own cake vampire, Wiggy. His name is Wiggy? Said someone. That's why we had Wiggy cakes. I never knew, said another. Running him out of town seems a little harsh for ruining a cake, said another. It looks really good. Anybody got a knife? Soon the cake was cut, shared, and eaten. Much like the original cake, it was fluffy and light. The tart lemon curd, the perfect balance to the cake's sweetness. A collective sigh, could be heard.
The mayor and Miss Kea shared a piece under the shade of a willow tree. Chapter 12. Just after sundown, Wiggy woke, satisfied with himself. The cake had been the right thing to do. The bitterness of guilt was baked away, leaving only the sweet taste of a lesson learned. "I was thinking of making a mocha hazelnut cake tonight," Wiggy said to Marzipan as they climbed out of the coffin. Marzipan's bell rang with excitement as Wiggy carried her to the kitchen. Wiggy was just reaching for his cookbook when he thought he heard something. "Did you hear that?" he asked Marzipan. There it was again. It sounds like someone is knocking on our door," he exclaimed. "Of course it isn't a robber, Marzipan. They don't knock. Or at least I never did," he chuckled, able to laugh about the whole thing now. He and Marzipan went to the foyer, not really expecting someone to be at his front gate. Wiggy opened the door to see Miss Kea standing there with a piece of white chiffon with lemon curd cake. "Good evening, Mr. Wiggy," she began. Wiggy was a bit taken back. No one had ever called him Mr. before. "I thought it only proper that you should have a piece of your delicious cake," she said boldly. "Thank you," Wiggy said, taking the small yellow plate with the slice of cake. Marzipan whispered out of the side of her mouth. "Would you like to come in? I was just getting ready to bake a cake," he offered. "What are you making?" "Mocha hazelnut?" "Bunt or layer?" Miss Kea asked. "I was going to do a layer, but now that you mention it, a bunt cake might be nice." They walked to the kitchen, discussing the positive attributes of each baking form. "Were you going to do a glaze?" Miss Kea asked, the different recipes already flipping through her head. "Of course," he answered, shocked even at the thought of omitting the glaze. Sweet dreams were spread thickly that night, and the town smelled of brown sugar in the morning. The end. Thank you for listening to The Cake Vampire. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Special thanks goes out to my family, Helmut, Steve, and Maren, and to Luba for her artwork. I hope more Wiggy adventures will follow. If you like the story, pass it on to a friend. Everyone needs a sweet story to enjoy. Thanks!